Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's on the south wall.
Yeah.
Which would be the south.
Yeah, it's the south wall.
Okay.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is on the south wall of the Dakota City Council room, right straight back there, available for all citizens in attendance to review. Go ahead and take attendance.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Present.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Present.
Jeff?
Here.
Now would be the time for public comment. If there's anything that anybody wants to comment on other than what's on the agenda today, so if there's anything other than what we're going to talk about that's on the agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right. No public comment. We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from March 30th, 2026. Approval of payroll claims from March 29th through April 11th. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. And approval of accounts payable claims.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda item A through D.
I'll second it.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. We'll go to new business. At 3:02, we'll start a public hearing for the purpose of hearing to give citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comments regarding a request from Knife River to rezone property west of 110 from agricultural to heavy manufacturing for a sand, gravel, and rock rail yard on approximately 120 acres. That would be located in Section 2, Township 28, Range 8, Section 35, Township 29, Range 8 of Dakota City, Nebraska. So to start the meeting, we'll start with anybody that wants to offer support of the project. Anybody wants to speak in support of the project? Go ahead and sign in. There's a sheet there. So anybody who speaks at it, make sure when you come up to the podium, go ahead and sign in.
Also state your name and stuff for the record.
Yeah, state your name and your...
Hi, I'm Chris Winkle, general manager at Knife River here in Siouxland. Worked at Knife River for over 20 years. Lived in the Siouxland community for over 46 years. And I'd like to thank the Board of Commissioners for taking time to listen to me. And I'd like to acknowledge that Knife River respects the concerns of the residents about this project. So I'd like the opportunity to present some information on those concerns and also show the board how this proposed development will benefit the county as a whole and fits in with the county's comprehensive plan.
Is there a way to dim some of the lights, Jerry? That's good. Thank you, Randy.
So, who is Knife River? Well, obviously, a lot of you have heard we're, you know, a large, stable company listed on the New York Stock Exchange, but we have deep roots here in the community and have had for a lot of years. We have a lot of community connections. So we have over 100, currently 140 employees in the Siouxland community, of which approximately 18 live right here in Dakota County. We are an active part of building infrastructure in this community. Many of the roads that everyone traveled on today, I'm proud to say that we paved a lot of those roads. So in Northeast Nebraska alone, like in the last couple of years, we've done, you know, 54, 60 miles of roadway. I mean, those being county roads, city roads, state highways. So, I mean, we're an active part of this community. We're not just a fly-by-night company. Okay, so the current aggregate supply. So where do aggregates come from in Dakota County? Well, right now, they come from distant sources such as Spencer, South Dakota, Blair, Nebraska, Fort Dodge, Del Rapids, and they all come in by truck. So they're hauled very long distances. This is expensive when you got to bring things in by truck and haul them that far. So our development that we're proposing, railing in aggregate from a distant source. So we're actually going to reduce trucks on the road in Dakota County, because all those incoming trucks, a lot of them will be eliminated. Okay, let's take a look at Dakota County's comprehensive plan from 2014. So a couple of the goals of the plan were to encourage expansion of existing business and industry and the location of new businesses to Dakota County, provide industrial, commercial, and residential uses. A couple of objectives under that: provide industrial, commercial, and residential developers with more land options that in turn encourage growth. And then also to work with county communities to market Dakota County and surrounding areas in a collaborative effort to acquire and retain new commercial and industrial companies. Okay, so let's take a look at the Dakota County Rural Economic Development Strategic Plan from 2017 and 18. As you can see, there's on the map there, Highway 110 is targeted as a potential business corridor. That orange arrow shows where our proposed site is along that proposed business corridor. So there was four criteria laid out, and I won't read through them all, but we meet all those criteria. And one of the targeted industries in the report was transportation and logistics, which we fit that industry. So it's not an asphalt plant, it's an aggregate unloading yard. Okay, so let's look at why this site. So we considered 14 different sites. Obviously, it has to meet certain criteria. So we need enough land to accommodate a unit train, 100 cars, okay? So it's got to be a large parcel because, I mean, trains just can't make sharp right-hand turns. So it has to be near a major highway for safe truck access. We don't want it 2 miles off a gravel road that where you're going to generate a lot of dust and that from truck traffic. So, and then we looked at residential dwellings, like around the site. As you can see, where our proposed site is, there's very few residential properties within a half mile. You also have existing industrial properties in that area. You've got the NDOT aggregate stockpile yard, you have the Cargill plant down there, and then there's even another sand pit down the road. So, okay. And then I just want to say, this is the only site that met all those criteria. So many of you have seen this, but this is a preliminary site layout. So we are promoting several self-directed site improvements based on input from the residents. The first thing is the road coming in to the site will be paved, which will eliminate the dust from traffic. So we've been talking with the NRCS about doing trees and birming, so and other vegetation grasses that will promote and enhance wildlife habitat and help eliminate dust. Also, the rail. So what this site will allow here is for that unit train to come all the way in, so there doesn't have to be any switching at an intersection. So right now, we're looking at one train per week. One train, okay? And it's the only time it'll block 110 is when it comes through into the site, but once it's in the site, it's not going to switch back and forth and block that highway. The other thing that you don't see on here is a permanent asphalt plant, okay? I've heard a lot of it in the news and from a lot of people. If there is a portable road project, we would move a plant in for that project, which can happen every 2 to 3 years. I mean, there's already one sitting there down the road, another contractor with a portable plant. When the project's done, it would move out. So there's no permanent asphalt plant on this site. Okay. So like I said, we've heard a lot of the residents' concerns, and we respect those. So I wanted to address some of those directly. So the county's heavy manufacturing district has performance standards for noise, dust, vibration, odor, waste, and a lot of other things that protect neighboring properties. Knife River will meet or exceed every one of those standards. Another one that was discussed was the traffic and roadway safety. A lot of the residents were concerned about the traffic on Highway 110. So Highway 110 is a state highway. So the burden of maintaining and ensuring safety goes back on the state of Nebraska, the NDOT. So I know they have many safety improvements planned this year that they're going to do on the highway and on 35, 110, and then more to come on Highway 20. So the NDOT district engineer, they confirmed that they had no major concerns with our project. And he also brought up all the improvements that they're going to make to that highway, which I went over at planning and zoning. Okay. And if Adam could speak briefly on some environmental stuff.
That all I need to do? Just saying, okay. I'm Adam Konopasek, environmental manager with Knife River. And I'm going to speak to some of the concerns the citizens had, starting with water usage. So the proposed Dakota County site, we will be using some water. It will be for dust control. You know, it's a 120-acre site. We won't be watering all of that because most of that will be aggregate piles or others, but the haul roads that would be on site. We plan to water those, you know, 5 applications per day, 5 days per week. It's about 113,000 gallons per week is what we believe that water to be. A Nebraska center pivot, as an example, this came from the University of Nebraska. They had a document in there that they referenced kind of average growing and water needed for corn. So if you were to water 121 acres of corn, 0.25 inches per day, 5 days a week on average, you use about 4.1 million gallons per week. So that's just kind of a comparison of the water usage to a Nebraska center pivot. Next slide. Dust control. We will do various dust control methods as necessary. The Dakota County Zoning Regulation number 5 says mentions air contaminants. And so a Ringland chart number 2, nobody knows what that is. So we'll say that's less than 40% opacity is what that comes out to, and opacity is the industry standard for the amount of dust that's allowed to be generated. And that's per the ordinance. Dust shall not be emitted in the excess of 0.2 grains per cubic foot. And that's also in the ordinance. And so those are the two that were called out under air contaminants that we will have to follow as being part of in that location. Dust control material that applied, it could be water, it could also be calcium chloride, which would help control the dust on our haul roads. As Chris discussed, trees, shrubs, and planting would be put into the areas. We have it proposed in, you know, the corners, but it may be in other places. But vegetation does provide a natural barrier to mitigate dust off-site. And then, obviously, per the ordinance, as well as just our practices, right, all equipment shall be properly operated and maintained to limit fugitive dust. Well, that will be part of that and part of the stormwater, which should be the next slide. So we would be regulated under the Nebraska Department of Water, Energy, Environment. And so we would have to get a construction stormwater permit during construction phase. We'd have to develop a plan for that. And then during operation, after construction is complete, we would need to then follow the industrial stormwater permit. Again, all under the state of Nebraska as part of the Department of Water, Energy, and Environment. And as part of that, again, still to be decided during construction and the proposed layout, a possible stormwater conveyance with a retention pond to keep stormwater and any, you know, materials that may be generated on site.
Good afternoon, Board of Commissioners. Thank you for your time. My name is Justin Pearson. I'm the Director of Rail Logistics for Knife River, and I'm just going to hit on the economic impact. You guys saw this at our last presentation, but I want to hit it on it again. First of all, the cost savings that we talked about, this was pulled from the National Stone, Sand, and Gravel Association. On average, you would save about $10 a ton bringing it in by rail rather than by truck. On average, again, from that source, an amount of aggregate is used per person is about 11 tons per year. So if you do the math on that, at 21,000 people, get you $2.3 million in savings. We also reached out to the Nebraska Department of Economic Development, provided our details of our project and our spend. They gave us the economic impact report back that showed it would create 14 direct and indirect jobs. Based on our salaries, we'd have an annual compensation of $1.1 million. That's both direct and indirect. Also, annual spend, just the cash layout on a business of our size and what we're doing out there, would be $5.3 million. Within that $5.3 million, we went in and pulled out what the property tax increase would be based on what it's currently being taxed on the tax roll. It'd be about $28,000 a year, and that's a 457% increase. So I wanted to relay this back to you guys since there was some clarification needed on that. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for your support.
So, this decision really comes down to one question. Does this rezoning benefit Dakota County as a whole? The county's own 2014 comprehensive plan mapped this corridor for industrial potential. The 2018 Economic Development Strategic Plan targeted transportation and logistics, including rail support activities, as a critical industry. The site's physical characteristics, rail highway access, make it uniquely suited for this use. There are no other feasible locations in the county where all these needs can be met. Knife River will meet every performance standard in the county's heavy manufacturing zoning ordinance. The heavy manufacturing district exists for exactly this reason, to provide a place for intensive industrial uses that can meet county standards. Knife River respects this process. We respect the residents who have expressed concerns, and we are committed to being a responsible neighbor. The work has been done. The guidance has been given by previous commissioners, county staff, steering committees, and community stakeholders across multiple planning cycles. This project is an opportunity that those plans were designed for. Knife River asked the board to please approve of this rezoning request, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else who would like to speak in support of the project?
I'm definitely not a speaker, so.
Just take your time and do your thing.
Well, 1969, I started at Brower Construction Company. First job I ever had. And in 1970, Mr. Winkle here, his dad, taught me how to run the asphalt plant there in Sioux City, Iowa. And for 47 years, that's what I did. The last several years was Knife River's who bought Brower Construction. Brower kind of retired, and Irving F. Jensen, the concrete, they were in business for over 100 years. They were kind of part of the whole thing, too. But here's the thing. I've been around car unloading. At that time, we could get 14 cars in our yard. So we might have to switch four or five times a week. But we didn't have any problems unloading railroad cars. At that time, we had what they known as a shaker, which had a little bit of noise to it. It had rubber pieces underneath it, and it would just sit there and shake that car. But that's not apparently the proposal that they do nowadays. I mean, that's been a long time ago. And so I want Knife River to stay in business. I want them to create more jobs. My son runs the lab at Knife River. He's been there 32 years. My other son runs the lab at Jebro, which is just south of town, also owned by Knife River. MDU Resources, that's who owns the whole thing. But I've had my whole life, that's where our income came from. And they always did things the right way as far as environmental stuff. They'd come in there. We'd change bags in our bag house about every 2 weeks, 20,000 ton, not 2 weeks, 20,000 ton. And we'd go in there. We'd put fluorescent powder in there when it was dark, like 3, 4 in the morning. And then it would go through the bag house and come out the stack. And then while it was still dark, we'd go up there with a black light on the top side and check every bag. And the bags that would have a hole in them, and there usually was only maybe 10 or 12, they'd get little holes in them, and that fluorescent would come through, and it would show up with that black light. So that's what we did all the time, you know. But things have changed and stuff, and I know one thing, Knife River, they don't mind spending money to try to make money. And so as far as I'm concerned, I wanted everybody to know that my kids, their kids, just like the farmers, you know, they. I always wanted to be a farmer. I just did. But I wasn't. I just happened to pick that job, you know, because it was a job, and that's where I stayed. So anyway, I don't think there's any problems that you're ever going to have out here with that plant site because of their paving it coming in. They'll have water. They'll do anything to keep dust down, if there's any dust at all. The wind blows hard. Unfortunately, the wind blows hard, and guess what? The sand down in the river goes everywhere. So anyway, I just wanted to say that about my sons, and that's who I'm more concerned about, because I want them staying there as long as I did at Brower Construction. Well, thank you, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Jason Gall. I'm a General Superintendent at Knife River. I'm also a resident of Dakota County. I wanted to touch on a few things that there's been some misleading things that or rumors that have gotten out there. One of them is fuel usage tax, or IFTA, about the revenue of trucks in Nebraska leaving the state. The International Fuel Tax Agreement, whatever state any truck operates in, you have to record your miles, report that back, and you pay into that state. So any truck, whether it's licensed in Iowa, South Dakota, doesn't matter. Wherever we drive, that money goes to that state for however many miles you put on, and each state has a different rate on what they charge per mile. The second one is putting an asphalt plant on the site. We never once said that we were going to put a permanent asphalt plant on the site. This is going to be a rail yard unloading facility. Like we said before, there's no aggregates around here. Anytime there's a portable job, an asphalt plant has to come in. And currently there's one right across the road from where we are by a competitor of ours. Dust from the piles. Aggregates that are crushed are heavy. I've had piles and sites that sat all winter and the particles didn't go more than 20 feet. I have pictures of that. Man sand is the biggest product we use. We put it in almost everything. It's almost 7 to 8% moisture. Dust said to leave the site could only come from unwatered gravel roads or roads that are not paved. Stewards of the land. You don't have to be a farmer to be a steward of the land. You could argue that buildings we're standing in were built on farmland. When you drive down a highway and there's crops on both sides, that's farmland. We are stewards of the land and we'll treat it with the respect it deserves. We have no intention of not being good neighbors. We will have a SWIP plan, as stated before. All the water that leaves the site will have to be tested and sent into the state of Nebraska. We will see to maintain the slopes and topsoil. We will plant trees and shrubs to mitigate noise. The last thing I wanted to hit on is there will be a direct contact with any resident that has any issues or complaints or concerns about anything that goes on there. Things will be dealt with in a timely manner and communicated accordingly. Anyone's concerns or questions will be handled directly and in person. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet.
I'd like the opportunity to talk here about this. Obviously, my dad was just up here. I've worked for Knife River for 32 years. I've been in testing and quality on our pavements, both our concrete, our asphalt, and our aggregates. I'm part of bidding. I've been an environmental manager for 3 years for them internally, so I'm very in tune with who Knife River is, what they do, and what they stand for. I was born here. My dad still lives here in Dakota County. I spent my first years growing up here, graduated from South Sioux City High School, and went to college locally here. Knife River, just so you know, has four core values, and that is people, environment, safety, and quality, and we try to live by those all the time. So we've even had coins made, handed to all of our people, so it's definitely a big part of what we do and what our message is out there. It's definitely helped raise my family, as Dad said, raised me when I was a kid, and my mom, and I'm raising my wife and kids currently through Knife River. We've been, as far as trying to do the right thing, there's been, I know we've done boys and girls home stuff. I mean, we're doing things all the time to try to support the community. So, and like they've already said a couple times, even if you said no to this, you're not going to get rid of the temporary asphalt plants that are going to come here regardless. So I think this is a good revenue stream for Dakota County to help build the community and push it forward to new growth. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Dakota County Board of Commissioners. My name is Taylor Nelson. My family lives about 2.5 miles north of the proposed Knife River site, and I farm adjacent to or very near this location in several instances. I'm here today to express my support for this project and the proposed zoning change. I've done many hours of my own research. I've reviewed the county's economic development plans. I've spoke with Knife River to understand the project, listen to the concerns of area residents, and I believe that this is a strong and beneficial project for Dakota County. I want to be clear, my support is not meant to dismiss the concerns of others, but this is ultimately a decision about economic development and the long-term direction of our county. I have experience building businesses and working with people in regions that have seen successful economic growth. One thing is consistent. Thriving communities do not turn away from strong established companies that want to invest locally. Doing so limits opportunity rather than expanding it. This project aligns with the county's own economic development plan. Rail lines naturally create industrial corridors, and that vision is already reflected in the county planning. Using this land to support infrastructure and aggregate transport is a more productive long-term use than continuing traditional row crop farming on it. Through my conversations and research, I found Knife River to be the kind of company that communities benefit from. They've been in business since 1917. They emphasize safety, environmental responsibility, community involvement. Those priorities directly address many of the concerns that have been raised. Approving this project would expand the county's economic base, bring new jobs, generate direct and indirect economic activity. It also has potential to reduce aggregate costs for the county, helping offset other rising expenses. At the end of the day, this decision comes down to whether we are willing to support responsible growth and investment in Dakota County. I respectfully ask you to consider the broader countywide benefits and vote in favor of this zoning change. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Good afternoon. My name is Dewey Goobles. My wife and I own Roland Coal Trucking. We're based out of Randolph, Nebraska, and we've been a trucking subcontractor for Knife River for about 8 years. Many in the audience today might not know Knife River very well. If they were to go get a new job with a new company or not know anything about a company at all, how do you tell if a company is a good company or not? And I think one of the key factors is their employee turnover. I've been with Knife River for 8 years working with them. I still work with the same people today as we did 8 years ago. And as many of the Knife River people were up here, you heard how long they've been with the company. That goes to show to back up what I just said. So they're a good company. Like what was previously said, a lot of them are our neighbors. They live in the community. They want to see good things happen to the neighbors and the people in town here and in the surrounding area. Ultimately, this project, if approved, is going to save taxpayers money. And that is just through by having the aggregates closer to home, closer to where they're used, that'll drive down cost. And that's going to save taxpayers money in town, in the county, the state highways, and federal projects. So it's a good thing for the taxpayers and everyone in this community and surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm John Hines with Curry Huff Law Firm here on behalf of Doug and Lisa Nelson, who are the property owners of the property to be rezoned. I'm going to try my best not to repeat anything that the supporters have said already. I think this hearing on rezoning is very timely, considering 2 weeks ago this board voted to amend the road paving plan to pave more roads. And I'm not going to pull the room. I don't know about the roads everyone else drove in on. It looks like there are plenty of paving projects at the city, county, and state level that would benefit from having someone like Knife River have a foothold in Dakota County. What I wanted to speak to the board mostly about is the comprehensive plan and the competing interests that are in that plan. I think you'll hear from the opponents of this rezoning that they're focused on maintaining the agricultural nature of Dakota County. And more than one thing can be true at once. The vast majority of property in Dakota County is agricultural, is going to stay agricultural. But this board decides when a piece of agricultural property is suitable for economic development. And that's the Nelson's property. You could see, I appreciated Knife River's map showing all of the different properties they considered for this project. And the Nelson property is uniquely situated to fulfill all of those needs. Access to the rail, proximity to other industrial property. The eastern most part of the property already abuts a Department of Roads maintenance yard. So it's clear that this property is in the corridor of what the commission has already decided is a corridor for economic development. So for those reasons, this proposal is in accordance with the comprehensive plan and with the economic development study that the board has already done. So based on the statutory factors and the comprehensive plan of the board, we would ask you to find that this is an appropriate use of this property and to rezone it to heavy industrial. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Joanne Livermore, and I thank you for your time. I am here in support of Knife River. My husband, years ago, worked for Brower Construction, and he passed away while working there, or he'd still be there. But Knife River bought them out, and my son now is following in his father's footsteps with the same company. And I think that just like I followed in my father's footsteps, my father was the judge over in Dakota County here for years, Joe Marsh, and I worked here in the summers. I felt like this was my home away from home. It's a very friendly town, and I think that Knife River would be a great asset for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Oscar Gomez with the City of South Sioux City. Again, like somebody just mentioned, I don't want to repeat anything that already has been said, but a couple of items I do want to touch on is, number one, the City of South Sioux obviously supports having Knife River in Dakota County for the sole purpose of Dakota or economic development projects. We have some great projects that we're working together with Dakota City, Dakota County, for example, Pine Street, that continues to move in the process to get approved. That should be considered a truck route. So obviously having Knife River in Dakota County would make that a lot more cheaper to pave it. In front of Tyson, all the way through Broadway, Dakota City, we have submitted an application to the senators to make sure that we can pave that. Obviously, if everybody came from Dakota Avenue, you see how terrible that road is. So by paving that again, saving taxpayers money. We have other projects that we have in South Sioux that this could potentially be a beneficial thing for South Sioux and our taxpayers, think so, obviously, in support. The other thing that I want to bring up is by having an agreement with Dakota City and Dakota County, one of the things that we as a city always target is the safety of the residents. One of the things that I haven't heard about is there a traffic study being done on 110? Obviously, we have that issue all over South Sioux City and in the county that we need to address some of those traffic controls. So it would be nice to hear if this project gets approved, what is the plan for a traffic study? And again, if the location does not get approved, obviously from a South Sioux City standpoint, we would like to work with the county, Dakota City, Knife River, to make sure we can find a place here in Dakota County for them to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any way to tip the all we can fund?
Well, I've been living here since 1997. I work for Tyson and I work for other companies, but I've been working for Brower, Knife River, MDU since 2001, and I started as a truck driver. I moved by myself out, be a mechanic, be a lowboy driver, a foreman, and everything. I just believe it's a good deal for Dakota County. I live here in Dakota City, right across from the school. I got my two girls going to the school there. My boy goes to the school there. And I've been living here in Dakota County in Dakota City for 25 years. I got my house there and everything. And I just believe Knife River is a good outfit for for the Dakota County. There'll be more employees, more jobs to work on it. I've been there. I'm thinking about retirement in there. I'm 46. I still got another 14 years or better. It all depends, but it's a good place to work, and I mean, it's a job, and they take care of the people, so I've been there for quite a bit. So I just want to say what I think about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jose Campos. I've been working with Knife River for 2 years now. It's a good place to work for, and I'm a resident here of Dakota County, and I would like it to be approved. That way we keep more tax dollars here in our county and benefit everybody, you know, and I can work in state, and it just keeps, you know, in a loop. Everything's staying here in town and bringing more work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Merrithew. I've been a resident of Dakota County for nearly 16 years. I've been employed with Knife River for nearly 2 years, and I can say from a standpoint being a current resident that our rural roads definitely would benefit from having this aggregate yard. It's getting pretty tough to try and get gravel out on these roads. The washboards are getting pretty rough. And also being a rural resident, knowing that I personally have to invest aggregate on the roads near my property. The county benefits from this to try and keep the cost down. The county could easily try and set up some kind of contract with Knife River as well to try and mitigate the costs on trucking coming across the river. It's a really good idea. Safety and environmental aspects for this company are at their highest focus, and I would ask the board members to motion to pass this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, including the board members up here. I'd just like to elaborate. I've been doing this business for over 40 years in the state of Nebraska mostly. I've been west, I've been east, and there's some roads that are better than others. I always had a long dealing with a lot of engineers in the state of Nebraska, and one thing we found out is this northeast Nebraska does not have the soil content to carry the load limits. And what I mean by that is you get moisture in the road, and next thing you know, your base is gone. The state of Nebraska is doing what we call Band-Aids. An inch or two on the road is not good enough. That's not building up your easel strength. We have nothing underneath. Our truck limits, the pounds they carry, is extremely difficult. And the bridges are going bad. Our infrastructure has went way downhill. And I've worked with Dakota County, several counties in the state, and I got a lot of friends here. And I just feel that change. We need a change to get our infrastructure back in course, and anytime you can eliminate some truck traffic, I mean, that's a big plus for our roads. Everyone's been traveling some of these roads here, and they've been, you know, it's costly repairs on your automobiles. So I think I've been with Knife River for 12 years. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and I don't know how much longer I can, but I hope I can go a few more years yet. So thank you very much.
You bet.
Hello, Commission. My name is Chris Nelson, and I come from Sioux City, Iowa. Lived here most of my life. I was living in Sergeant Bluff up until recently. With that said, I also volunteer in Sergeant Bluff. Been on for 20 years with the fire department. Also have come to help you guys in your time of need. I think Knife River as a company does have the potential to bring more jobs and to help with the community. There's going to be more growth, more economic sustainability that we'll have here. There's also third order effects that people haven't brought up. With that, with more economic that we have, that brings in other things of like additional taxes. And we've talked about that, and that is a big thing for the commission. That gives you ability to purchase more firefighting equipment, more police officer equipment, and various other things for the city that the city citizens need. Last year, a year ago, I was at the pallet fire. I spent 12 hours at that pallet fire with both South Sioux City and Dakota City residents. I was not asked to do that. I was not paid to do that. I came because you guys had called and said we need help. And so I came to help. I am the new safety supervisor for Knife River. I started in September 1st. And they have taught me what I have needed to know so far. I was not a supervisor or safety supervisor before this. I was just merely a fireman. I also have 20 years of firefighting experience. I'm also on the Iowa USAR team, and I work with Woodbury County Emergency Management as a support team member. This has the potential to allow your community to grow, allow your citizens to grow, and allow your other departments to grow. That was all.
Thank you. Anybody else to speak in favor?
Hi, my name is Maria Avila. I've been working for 5 years over here in Knife River. Knife River is a good company, good opportunity. And then for me, I enjoy my job. I'm thriving. So I will say everyone, you have a like, good time with me. And it don't matter where am I going, but I work in safety. And this, and the new,
You're doing great.
But I think for this decision that a Knife River company, it has to be like for future, that's good, for special for my grandkids, for the new generation, so why not?
Okay.
Right? That's what I want to say. Thank you.
Right.
And
thank
I'm sorry.
You.
And
no, thank you.
Hello, my name is Carla Franco. I've been working for Knife River for about 3 years now, residents of Dakota County. Knife River is a great company to work for. I have worked in slaughterhouses before. I've been a supervisor, and I've always wanted to work for construction. And I applied for Knife River, and they gave me the opportunity to even move up and do other jobs. The other company doesn't really let you do. They don't trust you with equipment and stuff like that, but Knife River have. And I'm glad that I did got a job with Knife River because I can spend more time with my family. At my previous job, I did not have that time, and always for Knife River, safety and family always comes first. And I think this will be a good project because it will create more jobs for us in the community, and we'll be closer for home as well. And I'm just here to support them, and I hope this project goes through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Jamie Langholt. I'm not here to persuade you one way or another, but wanted to share my insight as an employee of Knife River. I previously worked in banking for 20 plus years and wanted a change, as the bank I was previously been at was bought out. If I was going to change, I wanted to be a part of a company that had a family atmosphere and put both their employees and clients first. I ended up joining Knife River because a coworker referred me. She said Knife River cared about their people, cared about the environment, and took pride in their work. Although I had no asphalt construction experience, the Knife River family provided the training needed to succeed in the role. They have helped me grow and support my family. Knife River can offer training and pay that will help support your families here in Dakota County. And even though I'm not a citizen of the county, I actually have a sister whose family is looking to move to Dakota County because she's going to be a teacher at one of the schools here locally. I also have church members and other friends who live in the community. We don't talk necessarily just about one city or one county. We talk about the Siouxland community, and that's what makes us special. And Knife River is a part of that. I take pride in the work that Knife River performs. It's not just about the safety and quality awards we have won. We hear it every day from our clients and even from the people in the neighborhoods where we have our projects. They comment how respectful and how helpful we are and what a quality job we perform. Every time I drive down Hamilton Boulevard in Sioux City, my 94-year-old grandmother comments, "Why can't Knife River do all the paving for the roads in Sioux City?" We can bring that quality and that commitment to your community as well. I also take pride in the fact that we are involved in the community. Yes, there is an economic benefit, but there's also a quality of life benefit as well. We're involved in the community, and whether it's helping with parades, gathering school supplies, collecting donations for the Cancer Center, helping with veterans, supporting soccer and baseball teams, Knife River and its team members care about the community we live in and work in. We will continue and would be honored to continue this tradition in your community as well, if you give us that opportunity. Thank you.
My name is Shannon Schermbeck. I've been employed with Knife River for going on close to 20 years. I'm a frontline supervisor currently. Started out as a laborer. One thing I can say is everything is ever changing as far as environmental safety and all that. And working for Knife River showed me that their time and investment on focusing on the environmental impacts and how to correct things, same way as safety and people, is top-notch, probably first class. There's not many companies that have the stature and the capability to focus on that and the group of people that they have involved in it to make sure that every employee follows the steps and the protocols. And with us, it's not one or two people that you're probably going to deal with. It will be a team to where if there's issues, it's not one person that's going to be responsible for handling it. It's a team. And that's kind of the way Knife River is. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. It's a team. I do think this is a good opportunity for Dakota County. It's provided me a good life working for Knife River in them years. I have several employees under me that currently are in the same situation. And I know somebody brought up the turnaround and employees. I got a lot of guys that have been with me for a lot of years. I have one guy that's worked for me for over 40 years, or been with Knife River, Irving Jensen, for over 40 years. I do think it's a good place to work, and I think the quality of work and the quality of people there is first class. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. My name's Dan Lewis. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I've been with Knife River for 35 years. Had the opportunity to work with a great team of people you've seen come up here and speak. This project supports Dakota County infrastructure. It's going to increase jobs. It's going to provide an opportunity for growth, and I believe it should be approved for that reason. We've tried to address all the concerns that people have brought forward, and we really do want to be good neighbors. And so our approach to things is to do things the right way. And that's what we plan to do. That's what we always do. So we really do look forward. Hopefully this gets voted in a positive manner. And we do look forward to the growth and expansion in Dakota County. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else to speak in support of this project? Anybody with neutral comments with regard to this project? Is there anybody who would like to speak in opposition to this project?
Good afternoon. My name is Cindy Morgan Anderson, and I'm here today as an owner representative and representative of LP Legacy Farm LLC. I speak not only for my family, but also for our neighbors, generational farmers and residents of the Dakota Flats and Lackawanna Lake areas who stand united in opposition to rezoning 120 acres of prime agricultural ground to heavy industrial use for the proposed Knife River rail yard and asphalt plant. Adherence to the 2014 comprehensive plan. As elected officials, you are responsible for abiding by the adopted plan and are accountable to your constituencies, the stewards and shareholders of the real properties in Dakota County, Nebraska. Our opposition is rooted in the county's own 2014 comprehensive plan, specifically Article 1, Land Use and Transportation, which prioritizes agricultural preservation. While Knife River points to Article 5 regarding economic development, Article 1 clearly mandates agricultural preservation, designated land use to complement existing primary industries and preventing land use conflicts, page 16. Goal 1, Objective 1, to preserve productive farmland for continued agricultural use. Goal 1, Objective 2, to protect farm operations from incompatible land uses that adversely affect capital investments in land, equipment, and livestock, page 24. A heavy industrial asphalt plant is fundamentally incompatible with these stated goals. Legal and financial risks under Nebraska Revised Statute 23-165, a formal protest has been signed and submitted by adjacent landowners. A supermajority vote of this board is required to approve this zone change. Furthermore, this rezoning threatens CRP, or Conservation Reserve Program, land. We have CRP wetland in two different generational farms. Asphalt drift from an asphalt aggregate plant affects grasslands and the environment. Fine particles from asphalt production, dust, soot, tiny oil residues can settle on grass blades and leaves. Asphalt dust can contain hydrocarbons and trace heavy metals that could alter soil chemistry, pH, and nutrient balance, and can make it harder for native grasses to establish roots. When it rains, deposited material can wash into the soil or nearby waterways carrying petroleum-based compounds and may create localized toxicity in low-lying grassland areas. The effects of this toxicity can affect health in wildlife, grazing animals, pollinators, and humans. Any damage to the land, water, or vegetation could result in daily USDA fines, the mandatory repayment of 15 years of CRP payments, contract payments, creating a massive financial liability for local landowners. I am stating this again because of my next concern. Knife River's track record. We must ask if this company truly embodies the good neighbor they claim to be. They say they do air, soil, and water quality tests. However, their history of violations between 2015 and 2026 is deeply concerning. 2025 and 2026, they were fined $10,000 each year for repeated air quality and air pollution violations in both Sioux City and Wyoming. But why on March 17th at the Planning and Zoning hearing did they say that the Sioux City air quality violation fine was only $5,000? These violations indicate Knife River is not a good neighbor, as they have suggested. They should not be able to move to Nebraska to continue their bad acts and escape the Iowa Department of Natural Resources regulations. 2015 through 2023, multiple fines in Oregon for discharging sediment and wastewater into rivers and irrigation canals without permits. 2022, Phil Matera, the research director for the nonprofit violation tracker, was interviewed in an August 19, 2022 TV station, Dakota News Now, KSFY, Sioux Falls, South Dakota airing, concerning numerous Knife River violation issues in several counties in Minnesota. Matera stated, "Knife River has lots of blemishes, and if a company like that moved in next to me, it would be cause for concern." Safety. Significant OSHA penalties for repeat trenching and excavation violations. Parent company, since 2000, MDU Resources have been fined nearly $3.4 million for environmental and safety violations. For these reasons, I am expressing my concerns regarding the integrity, transparency of this process. The traffic study, the presented traffic study was delivered by the applicant rather than an independent third party, leading to a high risk of perceived bias. In conclusion, we are all stewards of the land, which sustains our lives and our economy. We urge you to uphold the comprehensive plan, protect our agricultural assets, and vote to keep the zoning of this land as agricultural residential. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to speak?
Thank you very much for the time listening to this. I forgot my four pages, so you can thank me later about that. So I've come up to a few conclusions while I've been standing here listening to this with all of you. First of all, I think I should go work at Knife River. I think I'm the second person not being paid to speak here, so in one way, indirectly or directly. I appreciate that effort, but the fact of the matter is they're here to make more money. Most of the arguments are about bringing money into the county. We all know that those come with drawbacks. We know what happens when we do these aggressive things. My farm I live on, I'm the fifth generation. I have seven generations living there now. It's very important for me to continue that sort of life for them. I think that's what the idea of Dakota County is. We want to have good roads. We want to make more money. We want to do all those sort of things. But are we really, really ready to give away the kind of life that we've become accustomed to? It's a big deal for me. I usually don't get involved in these sort of things. I had an opportunity probably to work with Knife River myself and maybe go live somewhere a little nicer. But this lifestyle and the lifestyle for my grandkids being on this farm is important to me. So till I get my notes back, I appreciate the time. And yep, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Seen a few of you in a long time. My name is Pete Morgan. I'm the owner and manager of L&T Legacy Farms, LLC. It's a 165-year-old generational farm operation, alongside my sister, Cindy Anderson, who just spoke. In 1861, my great-great-grandfather, Peter Morgan, received a deed to much of our land signed by President Abraham Lincoln, and he built a cabin on a homestead currently owned by Ryan Bosquet. As a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, I live by a strict code. I don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. With that in mind, let's review the credibility of Knife River and the rezoning application. First, let's be clear, the site would be an asphalt plant. Based on the conflicting information that was presented by those in favor of it, several of them said there would be, there'd be a portable one, there won't be one, there will be one, obviously. And they stated this, okay, at the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 17th, 2026. They said there would be an asphalt plant there. So I'm not sure where they're coming from, standing up saying there won't, other than maybe to try to get this approved. They also said at the January meeting as well, the Planning and Zoning. They want the site because it's all about the money. That's what corporations do. They make money. They've got to have a place, a location that saves the money, makes them better enabled to get contracts, big contracts, if they can save hauling distances and so forth. With highway shoulder resurfacing contract in Dakota County on Highway 35 and multiple projects that they've done in the past or potentially are doing in the future in Dakota County, this site allows them to underbid competitors for future resurfacing contracts in the county. It also allows them to operate under less stringent Nebraska regulations, avoiding the consequences of their numerous violations in Iowa and in other states that was stated by my sister. To push this agenda, Knife River has misrepresented the facts in their presentation to both the County Commission and the Planning and Zoning Commission. On their current aggregate truck haul, which was presented earlier today, they conveniently omitted the Sioux City location. Yet their own Knife River Sioux City website states that the Sioux City location is a key regional hub for trucking, hauling aggregates and materials across the Siouxland area, specifically calling out Dakota County as a work area. So all those sites they label coming from far away, not sure what that is other than to try to promote approval for their project here. They've got one in Sioux City. Furthermore, in slides 10 through 15 in their presentation to the Planning and Zoning Commission, they characterized the N35 to US 20 Highway Improvement Project as a 2026 NDOT traffic study. It was on their slides. This study does not exist. The Highway Improvement Project notice was published in March of 2025, with no reference to a traffic study. And citizens have requested a study with zero results. They're not giving it to us because it doesn't exist. And that was alluded to about a safety study. Obviously, that doesn't exist. Additionally, Knife River's slide 13 presented unsubstantiated numbers claiming Highway 110 has a 2,145 total vehicles per day, and adding 55 per day will only be a 2.5% increase in activity. Again, there's no reference on those numbers, don't know where they came from, but they presented them on the slide as if they're some sort of a fact without validation. 55 a day, I don't know where that comes from. This data has zero credibility. It was presented deliberately, I believe, to deceive the commission about the true safety and road damage impacts on Highway 110 and H Avenue, the gravel road. Here's the information they don't want us to know. Under the Department of Transportation's fourth power law, that's the DOT fourth power law, a fully loaded semi causes thousands of times more road damage than a passenger car. Flooding our roads with these trucks will accelerate pavement cracking, rutting, and base failure. This forces earlier resurfacing and will cost taxpayers an estimated $5,000 to $15,000 per mile annually just for heavy truck quarter maintenance. If they're running those trucks up and down the roads, even though they have a resurfacing plan for 110, and it was stated earlier that we don't have a good base. Apparently it's on a lot of our roads because it's got water in it, so it leads to rapid deterioration. You put these heavy trucks on, so we're going to have a much more rapid deterioration of the roads. So the taxpayers in this room that live in this county and the state are going to have to pay for the roads and the more damage that is created. This plan will also devastate real property. Real property values in at least a 5-mile radius. And I'll substantiate my credibility. I've been a real estate broker for 21 years, and I have my own company. So I can talk real estate values. A 2015 peer-reviewed study in the American Economic Review shows home values drop by approximately 11% within a half mile of a toxic plant operating opening. We estimate a residential property within 5 miles of radius around this plant site to be worth about $330 to $550 million. Based on a blended loss of about 5 to 10%, the residential property devaluation equates to about $16 million to $55 million, which will cause a significant loss in county revenue. I don't know what that number is. I haven't calculated that. But if you get a $16 million to $55 million devaluation, there's going to be an impact on tax revenue for the county. There is. Simply put, no one, and I would ask everyone up here, and I would ask the Knife River representatives, would want to live, buy, or build a home near a toxic asphalt plant, or even just an aggregate plant with the noise and the contamination of the wind. This wind blows out of the south, southwest predominantly, and it blows hard. And Rick, you know this too, because you know how difficult it is to farm this ground sometimes or do prescribed burns. For agriculture, the impact is equally severe. Toxic asphalt residue degrades crop production, contaminates soil and water, and creates health issues. It will also prevent farmers from entering into USDA Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, contracts, as we will no longer be able to execute prescribed burn requirements. I believe a document was submitted from Clint, fire chief, about not being able to burn around asphalt plants. That severely affects us. We're right next door to the plant. We won't be able to do a CRP contract. That is our living. That is our generational gift to our children for this farm. And if you put that site there, it'll destroy that generational farm. In conclusion, I ask the County Commission to disapprove Knife River's rezoning application. Please support the unanimous disapproval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And most importantly, support the unanimous will of your constituents who live in this county, not employees of Knife River. Your neighbors you have to live with who elected you to represent them on contentious issues like this. I ask for that alone. Support the will of the people, your constituents. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'd like to make just one comment. I did talk to Clint earlier today, and he was not comfortable on giving an opinion on that. He didn't feel like he had the expertise to make that opinion, so the fire chief did not make a recommendation on that.
Well, can I comment?
You bet. You bet. Absolutely.
That runs contrary to what he told us. He said he submitted the document to you guys.
Okay. Well, I talked to him today. And
he said it was in writing, so that in writing document should prevail.
There's no document. I didn't get the document.
I've never. Have you seen the document?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
And that's the problem. If you submit it to the county, you don't know who has it. So
okay.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Good.
Yeah, my name is Don Pringer. I originally started Dakota Flats 30 years ago. And when I went to the commissioners' meeting that time, one commissioner stood up right away and said, "It's a bad idea to take good Dakota County farmland for housing development." And I thought, I'm dead in the water. But as it went on, I showed him that I could build houses in there, and there's more tax base to the county than that 65 acres of corn. So they ended up passing it, and I got Dakota Flats started. With that said, there's people here, and I'm about the rest of the people that haven't spoke yet are here for you guys to vote this down. And I don't really say vote it down, because I really think Knife River would be fine if a different location. Dakota Flats has 19 houses. There's 14 other houses around Dakota Flats on just the north side of this property, the proposed property of Knife River. That's 34 homes within 3/4 of a mile just on the north side. You've got three other areas to consider yet. I didn't even consider that. I just took Dakota County and or the Dakota Flats and the immediate housing right around there. And that's 34 homes that you're going to be disrupting within 3/4 of a mile of this plant. Now, I've driven between my Dakota Flats and Jackson, and there's some very nice farmland there. I don't know what it cost them, but if it costs them more than what they're paying for the area they're talking about, so be it. But there's at least there's no houses around them. They ain't going to be infecting 34 people. And then you go to the east, Gene Murray's putting in an addition that's going to have probably more houses than not all that together. And that's maybe a mile away, if that. Probably less. So I just feel that they could find a better spot in Dakota County. And if you go beyond Jackson, between Jackson and the ethanol plant, there's land in there. Sure, it's a big hill now, but if you cut that hill down, they could flatten it out and they could put their rail cars in there. There's plenty of other spots that they could come to go to, without disrupting so many fine homes and potential homes. Dakota Flats and Gene Murray's additions are probably going to be two of the nicest subdivisions in Dakota County. And you guys are taking a chance of screwing it up. And you've got the chance to either screw it up or make it right. So I'm asking you to make it right. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Emmett Albanicious. I want to thank you very much for listening to me today. I'm also here with my wife, Carol. The history of our family farm is also generational. We are neighbors to the Morgans. Our farm was settled by my great-grandfather, Peter Cramper, and his wife in 1878. They started raising their family and farming in Dakota County. They, too, were some of the first pioneer families in Dakota County. In 2028, the family farm will celebrate 150 years. That's pretty special to us. We are the fourth generation to farm the family farm, and hopefully we won't be the last. Our farm is across the road from where Knife River wants to build the rock and asphalt plant. Knife River wants to change the land from ag to heavy industry. Am I right? Reasons against the change are these. The surrounding area around the proposed plant are areas for future housing development, as Mr. Pringer has said, and after Gene Murray has also started like you wanted developments. These housing developments would generate thousands of dollars in real estate taxes for generations for Dakota County. This isn't a one-time thing, people. They're going to be here for generations. The reason people move to the country is simple. It's called quiet enjoyment. It's not to have a rock and asphalt plant as your neighbor, is it not? Quiet enjoyment is a phrase that realtors know well. It's in many residential leases, and it means no one shall impede on your happiness and your welfare. The dust from the rock piles will blow across our beautiful fields. These will have a devastating effect on our crops, our trees, our livestock, our wildlife, and our songbirds. The asphalt plant will release pollutants. Our trees and croplands will change forever. It will be a slow death, but it will be a death. The pollution and dust will cause upper respiratory diseases, bronchitis, and related problems, and I hope to God it's not cancer, too. Traffic problems on Highway 20 with no turning lane. It has practically no shoulder on Highway 110. There will be accidents at this intersection of 110 and 20. We saw this on Highway 20 until it was made a four-lane highway. Okay? The increase in tonnage on Highway 20 on 110 will cause maintenance problems. Who will pay for this? The taxpayers of Dakota County will, in the state of Nebraska. When Highway 20 is made into a four-lane highway, the state bought land from us. The superintendent told me the cost of a four-lane highway at that time was $1 million a mile, and that was in the early 2000s. I was told Knife River licenses vehicles in South Dakota. Again, if this is correct, do the Dakota County and Nebraska taxpayers pay the bill if they do not license their vehicles in Dakota County? There are better places, as Mr. Pringer said, to build the Knife River rock and asphalt plant. There are issues. I know that the report from Mr. Rasmussen did not get here in time, or we don't know where it's at. But there are fire issues, people. And this plant is surrounded by thousands and thousands of acres of farmland. In the fall of the year, if there's a fire, how are you going to put it out? How are you going to put it out? There are better places to build this plant, not here in a beautiful rural environment where the beautiful subdivisions where family farms have planted and harvested their crops for generations. Our farm, too, is in the Conservation Reserve Program. It is planted native habitats, grasses, flowers, honeybees, deer, pheasants are abundant on our farm. And if I may, if you wouldn't mind, they've ever talked about planting flowers and grasses and make it beautiful. Well, this is what we got right now. We got flowers and grasses, and we're beautiful. And we got pheasants, too, people. I'm going to have to wait for somebody else to come out and whatever they're going to do and tell us how to do it. If this farm is harmed, it will harm the beauty of the flowers, the grasses, and the wildlife of the Lost River. They aren't making any more farmland. We do not need any more pollution, noise. We have seen the scars of the pollution, traffic problems, noise, and dust in other places in Dakota County. We need neighbors who are stewards of the land, and I am damn proud to be a steward of the land. Our family has went through generational floods, blizzards, droughts, deaths, and we're still there. So if you bequeath me by saying that, you're stewards of the farm, you don't really know what you're even talking about. We need neighbors who are stewards of the, or stewards, like the Morgans, for instance, okay, who are responsible to take care of the land, one of our greatest gifts. It is up to use this land wisely, not to harm it. God has given us this land. And to the commissioners, I would like to say, as Mr. Pringer has said, would you want this asphalt and rock plant in your neighborhood or next to you? And I have one other question, a couple other things here. In 2008, T.C. Mercer of Weatherford, Texas, Trans-Canadian Company, rented some property on our north side of the railroad tracks to have a temporary pipeline storage yard. Okay? They had to do an environmental impact statement, do a comprehensive inspection for Native American artifacts before they were allowed to put the yard in. What happened was they never put the yard in. Not that they didn't find any Indian stuff. It's just that things changed. Also, in the map sent out by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I have a map right here I'd like to give to you. I don't know why, and this was sent to us by certified mail. You just take it, Mark. It was sent to us by certified mail, and for some reason, people, it doesn't show all the rest of the houses. We got like six or seven houses on the shows. We don't see Pringer subdivision here.
We don't see Jean Marie subdivision here. We don't see four flats. I don't know where these houses, but it kind of looks like they did this on purpose.
Or they didn't know. I should say that. I asked the commissioners, what is the benefits of Knife River? And I will say none. This will become a blighted community. People will go to Iowa and South Dakota to build their houses. Values will decrease and taxes will follow. There are over 90 property owners' signatures on a petition against Knife River. Planning and zoning voted unanimously against Knife and River. The people in this room voted for you, the commissioners, all you commissioners, protect us, not to yield like corporations like Knife River and their shareholders. Shareholders don't care. All they want is a dividend check. Highway 20 and Highway 10 were not designed for this increased tonnage and traffic. There will be accidents, hopefully no fatalities. And I ask you one question. When you tell us how you're going to vote and tell the people in this room and the residents of Dakota County why you voted the way you did. And I would like to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'll pick up the pictures afterwards.
All right.
My name is Patricia Ireland. I want to know, because 110 and 20, and on down from 110 and 20 at the trailer court, and 110 and 35 are really dangerous. How do I know? Let me tell you. I had a guy run the stop sign, and my husband and me were almost killed. Dead, like dead. I ran a diner for 22 years out in Willis, and I've seen Knife River drivers. I've seen the other drivers, all the companies you've taken over. There's a stop sign on 20 and 12. You know how many times I watched your drivers go through it without stopping? They glance both ways, and away they go. This is facts.
Let's talk up here.
Is facts. So I want to know where your safety report is for the highways, because my daughter lives on H Avenue, and there's so many kids that ride their golf carts, their side-by-sides, their bicycles. And these trucks are hitting that road, too. So I want to see the safety study, because me and my husband about died, and I don't want to ever to see anybody go through what I went through. And if I wouldn't have had a sheriff behind us, thank God for them, my husband would be dead. So where are your traffic studies, your safety studies, and what are you guys going to do about it if they don't produce that? That should be our main concern, because you're citizens of Dakota County. Because you know what I want to do right now? I would like to sell my house and move away. Just saying, because what I've seen from elected officials that I've dealt with so far, I'm not real happy. Because you do work for us. We pay your salary. That's where it comes from. And there is a vote coming up soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pen. I'm not going to read that, but it's there.
What's your name?
Wes Bowles. Yeah. Grandson of Peter Morgan. Yeah. Grandson of Ralph Bowles, son of Bob Bowles. You guys know my family.
Oh, yeah.
I have the land west of the proposed site. I know it's probably not the time to present this, but no one told me about this. I had to have a cousin call me when it was so far down the road that this was happening. I wasn't even notified, and I'm right next door. So, I'm always reminded when taxes are ready, but when this happened, So anyway, I'm opposed to it. Just with the dirt, and there's a lot of promises that were given from Knife River. I currently live in northern Minnesota. We had a similar situation there where a gentleman was going to come in and develop some land. Gave us tons of promises. He put a bond out because he was going to redo all the trees and all the foliage so we wouldn't see the storage units that are there. As soon as the ink dried, bond was gone, he was gone. Sold everything. Now I just look at these empty sheds with weeds. Nothing was ever finished. I know you guys have teeth. Government has teeth. But how are we going to enforce the teeth when this stuff happens with all this chemicals that are coming in, all the changes? They move fast. They're a for-profit company. They even say, they're on the stock exchange. That savings they're getting from bringing that there, it's not going to go to this community. It's going to go to the stock exchange. It's going to go to the shareholders. So it's great, but I'm not a shareholder. I don't know if you guys are either. So that savings isn't going to. That's not going to help us here. So opposed to it.
Thank you.
A lot of the stuff has already been said, so I'm going to try to not say
any
of that, Marty.
Go
I'm
right
sorry.
Go right
me and my wife were the first people to buy from Don and Sherry Pringer in that development. We moved out there for one reason. It's outside of town. We're not dealing with any type of pollution. We're not dealing with noise. It's a beautiful area. We know a couple young people that have built nice new houses over there in the Mari Edition. Beautiful houses. What is going to happen to that addition? It's going to die if this passes. I'm going to piggyback off of, I don't know if it was Don or somebody said was talking about the planning and zoning board meetings out there. Not one person on that voted for this. Decker. Marty, you were at this meeting, and you know what I'm going to say. Deputy Dunker, the whole issue with safety, when we talked to him, Decker, sorry, the whole
Sheriff,
premise of
Sheriff
this,
Decker now.
Sheriff, okay, something. The whole premise of Highway 110 not being a safety issue is laughable. I don't care if you add five more trucks on this road, 50 trucks like we're talking, that is a death trap of a highway. The sheriff basically laughed and said he agrees. He said, I investigate these accidents. I know we need to get trucks off of this road. I plead with my wife not to drive to work that way every day. Well, I got her going to Highway 20, but she always comes home on 110 somehow, and she won't listen to me. So, Marty, I know your wife does the same. So, I just think we have a really nice area out there that we have. Both of my kids are out of the house, but to see new young families building out there, I think is pretty special. I don't know if I can ask any of the commissioners a question.
I'd say you could.
So
I'm not opposed to that question.
Okay. Jeff, I talked to you here 2 months ago, mm-hmm. 2.5 months ago, when all of this got started. I got your opinion on what it's, and obviously you told me. Trevor, I'm selling to Knife River. So I don't know if you said, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. Fair, I voted for you. But what my question for you is, you are going to vote on this?
He's not going to vote on it.
He's not going to vote on it. Okay. So that story has changed since we talked.
And Jeff, I thought the question was for me. Sorry.
I'll tell you right now. I mean, I filed paperwork with the Nebraska Disclosure and Accountability Commission,
okay.
and got their opinion on the matter. This is something that I made a decision on my own. Like I said, that was come from Lincoln.
Okay, thank you, because that's different than what we had talked about a couple months ago. So, yeah. The I'm going to leave this here. The last thing I'm going to say is, what if? I mean, today's meeting is the first time I've heard that they're going to block traffic only once a week when you're unloading on 110. when you're unloading, you're going to be blocking traffic on 110?
No, just for the train process.
It's not going to stop there. Why you guys have to slow down to make the U? Okay, so that was something I never heard of, and so I was wrong there. My apologies. I mean, I think all the employees of Knife River here, great. I mean, it's a great company to work for, and I applaud them for standing up for their company, but I don't think any of the houses around us are going to increase in value if they come here. It's going to decrease everything out in that area. So thank you for your time.
You bet.
I'm Jackie Sunderke. I live probably a quarter mile. There will be a field between me and this plant, or whatever they're going to put there. I was not approached. They said they were good, friendly. We weren't told about it. We got the notification in the mail telling us they're going to do something. So I don't even agree with my person that farms the land around us, because we don't own the farmland.
Uh-huh.
We just own the property. They do rent some farmland from us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it there. I don't want the dust and stuff. My tree line is already taking a hit because of all the storms, the wind, everything. H is a joke. I have to drive that every day. It's not maintained well. Anytime we put any more truck traffic on that, it's going to make it worse. I just don't feel it's going to be a good idea where I'm at. I would want you guys to oppose it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, apologize. I don't have a fancy PowerPoint, or as a landowner, I don't have a lawyer here to speak for me or anything like that. Just me. And I just jotted a couple notes on my phone.
Yeah.
But I'll make it short. 12 years ago, my wife and I had a dream. We're going to move out of the Sioux land to Dakota County. That's our home, right? Rural Dakota City, Dakota County. I live on the corner of H Avenue and 155th. So we're going to see a lot of change, right? Our house value is going to change. Our lifestyle is going to change. I just want to address one thing that was said. They said we're going to get a $28,000 tax increase. Since we've moved 12 years ago, there's been about 10 new houses on 155th, the flats, that area. If that blows that $28,000 out of the water. So that's really a phony number as far as I'm concerned. Sorry. A little fired up.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I do commend you for the company support. Looks like the Knife River team showed up in spades. And honestly, that does say a lot of good things about the company. So I don't think it's a bad company. I'm not going to sit here and rip it or anything like that. I'm not going to say anything bad about Knife River. I don't think it's a great location. But I do want to touch on one thing. I had worked for a public company for 22 years, and this cost savings that they're going to bring to Dakota County isn't going to exist. Okay, their costs are going to go down. They're still going to sell at market value. That is a public traded company. That is the way it works. They are not going to voluntarily give Dakota County a break on your roads. That's just a fact. As someone, again, who worked for a public traded company, that's where we did business. And it's good business. I'm not, again, not going to say anything bad about it. And finally, I want to end on one thing, an anecdote. We moved out to this area with our four kids, right? Moved out of the city. We love the area. Jeff, for neighbors, you know? But I specifically want to talk about my son. He literally spent every day outside. When he was young, he was on the trampoline. He was learning to ride his bike. He graduated the shooting baskets all the way up to, he got to run the riding lawnmower. But long story short, he was outside every day. And we're less than a half mile from there. And I can't help but think about today, how his life might be different if he would have been breathing in all the dust from this aggregate, the dust from the increased traffic on H Avenue. I'm very proud to say he's a Division I athlete at the United States Naval Academy. Would he have had that opportunity sucking that dust in for 15, 18 years. I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
And these guys don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Could I get your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric Overgaard.
Okay.
And I'll write it down. Too many Red Bulls today.
Hey, Marty.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, I'm Paula Duggan. My family, from generations on, owns land that's going to be affected by this. And I just want you guys to take in consideration that once it's deemed industrialized, it will very unlikely revert easily back to productive agricultural, which is a permanent loss of rural land. And again, all the people that have spoken out about their homes and the value of their homes, our land value too will decrease. And it's been handed down through generations. And just hope you vote no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Samantha Johnson. I live east of Highway 110. I am well aware how unsafe Highway 110 is. In September, I assisted with an accident that was on 110. I helped a little girl while her mother passed away in a vehicular accident, as well as I am his sixth generation on the farm, and my kids are the seventh generation on that farm. It is near and dear to me and my children. My children, just like Eric was saying, my children are outside every single day. We are outside all the time. I don't want my kids breathing that in. I just want what's best for them. We live out there to enjoy the peace and quiet. We don't want this in our backyard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Cody Hirota. I am a teacher here at Dakota City. My property, where we live, literally is less than half a mile from the proposed site. I spoke at the zoning committee as a teacher. I think that's a piece that we're missing here. I'm going to first let you know I am Cindy Morgan Anderson's daughter. I'm a niece to Pete Morgan, cousin to Wes Bowles that spoke. I am one of the legacy that they refer to, so are my children. My 13 cousins and their children will all be, they're part of this land. It is our goal to keep this land as it is. We don't want to ruin it. Our children, all of our neighbors here, our children all play outside. Again, I'm going to speak as a teacher. This morning, I saw a South Sioux City bus almost get hit by a semi pulling onto 110. I know those kids. You know those kids. If we don't protect those kids, nobody will. 110 is dangerous. Speaking about the environmental concerns, little kids playing outside all around us, they're not going to be able to do that. Parents are going to keep them inside. I know my girls are grown, but I would keep them in. I'm not going to open our windows if this proposed site happens. There's concern, and we're all concerned, and we're asking you. I mean, we asked them, would you want to live there? And they said no. They said no. So please be our voice. Please say no to this.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Beth Anderson. I am a fifth generation person who lived out on the farm in the area they're talking about, also related to the Morgans. I no longer live out there, but I know as a resident of that area, growing up there, it was wonderful. I don't want these neighbors that are out there now going through the negative effects that Knife River would have on that area. I agree with everybody on the statements of the safety, the environmental concerns. They're basing some of their information on plans from 2014. We're now in 2026. They're basing it on 2017, 2018. Again, we're now in 2026. Whether those things have changed over those past 10 to 12 years, you guys know. But I don't agree with the idea of Knife River being placed out there, and I hope that you say no.
Hi, my name is Carrie Nilback. I also live at Dakota Flats, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the citizens. I was so impressed at the first few meetings that I was at and how much love these people have for the country of Dakota County. I'm here to support the families who have lived here for many years, some for generations, others for several years, who call this their area home. I do not support the proposed development of Knife River. As was stated before, this area of Dakota County is agricultural, not industrial. Our farms, family homes, and rural life deserve to be protected. At the very first meeting, not your meeting, the other meeting that was voted no, the only question I had asked them is, would you want this in your backyard? Because it would be towards my backyard. And they all lowered their head, and they couldn't answer that question. I work at Unity Point St. Luke's. Last week I had a meeting with an employee. He happens to live just a couple of miles west of my home on the homesteads. During some casual conversation, he asked how Dakota Flats was doing. I replied it was great, but mentioned my concern about the proposed Knife River development. He immediately response was, what are you talking about? He had heard nothing about it. I explained the situation. He shared that he previously worked for Environmental Services in Sioux City and had direct interactions with Knife River. He stated, one thing I learned from them is that they say they will comply with rules and regulations, but they do not. One big issue in Sioux City we had was the dust control, which they did not abide by. He had great concerns and highly expressed over and over that he hoped the commissioners would take this seriously and will vote no to the proposal. His firsthand experience raises serious concerns with Knife River ability or willingness to follow environmental regulations, especially when those impacts would directly affect nearby homes, farms, and residents. As residents of Dakota County, we voted for each of you to be our commissioners, someone we could trust to represent us respectfully and responsibly. You were elected to make this county a better place to live and work, not to introduce industrial work that would negatively impact surrounding farms and family homes. I urge you to consider the voices of the residents you were elected to represent and protect the agricultural character of this part of Dakota County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Bill Hafke, a resident out at Like You Want to Drive. There's a few of us out there that are opposed to this project. There are several homes established in the Northwest, high-end housing development by Pringers, and recently the Northeast, another large planning house development by the Mari Edition, that had the blessing of the Dakota County Commissioners. We need not to suppress the entrepreneurs who have taken the initiative and risk to make living improvements in Dakota County. Our local newspaper, The Star, has indicated there's a housing shortage in Dakota County. So let's let these housing sites flourish and do not stymie their growth. On the map of the Knife River aggregate site, I recall a large green area that is large enough for a processor to be erected and produce asphalt. If this proposal goes through, it was mentioned in the last planning and zoning meeting that I attended, it was only going to be temporary. Well, things don't work out exactly what people say. I can recall an outfit that I worked for and managed. We built to get funds for Dakota City. There was going to be 7 employees. So it turned out there were only 3 part-time employees, you know. It's always they've flowered up a little bit, you know. Anyway, okay, so we'll have to deal with asphalt odor if this is going to happen, even if it's temporary. Just to give you a little idea, some of you weren't present or maybe never even knew about it, but about 36 years ago, we out residents out there had to fight worldwide truck parts. Well, it ended up because of their they were smelting aluminum, and we had a horrendous odor from it, and you just couldn't believe the siding if of the homes out there had black degree material on the side of their homes. Also, we had to fight that, and we won. Then we go and we have the odor of the truck washout. So you can see we've had things come up out there. They were not reluctant to let somebody else come in and destroy what we do have and we have fought against out there. So we've had the same problems with probably with IBP, Tyson. It's finally gotten squared around, but it took an awfully long time. Well, you're aware of the infrastructure out there. It's not too good. And I guess I'm thinking, is there another place in Dakota County that this is going to work? Anyway, is a question, the idea is it beneficial for us to live out there? Is it beneficial for new people to come and live out there once the site gets going and gets up and running? Anyway, thank you. And
thanks, Bill.
Good luck.
Andrew Spader at Matz and Ricketts Law Firm. I'm an attorney there. I'm here to speak with a few, I think, comments maybe on. Maybe on some procedural and some. Let me get. I got notes here, and I got to lean in, so bear with me. All right. So I think the first thing I just want to highlight is that there has been a petition in opposition to this signed by landowners under NMRF Stat 25-165 that does. Trigger a supermajority vote requirement for action taken by this board because that this proposed development is not consistent with the 2014 comprehensive development plan. And earlier in the in favor testimony, there was some discussion that they believed this was consistent with the 2014 comprehensive development plan. But if you actually look at the map, the proposed land use development map. This land use area was designated as land use for agricultural use in the future. And I believe, as you've heard from the various members of the public, the homeowners in the area who have built their residences and their lives in reliance on what Dakota County has publicly stated would be developed in here in the future. And so there's a definite reliance interest from the community against proceeding with this development. And I believe that reliance issue was considered and reflected in the Planning Commission when they unanimously voted to disapprove of this plan. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is there's been some discussion of Knife River's actions as a corporate citizen. And, you know, I don't know that this has been specifically mentioned here, but there was an administrative consent order entered in just June of last year by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources over the operations of Knife River's asphalt plant in Sioux City. And I just want to read, and I do have copies that I can give when I'm done speaking, but I just want to read some excerpts of the order and the penalty that was ultimately issued, because I think that gives maybe some understanding of some context here. One of the things that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources found when issuing its penalty was that there should be a penalty imposed because the violations had an economic benefit to Knife River. And I'm just going to quote directly from here. It said, delaying equipment and control equipment cleaning and maintenance until stack test results showed the equipment is exceeding permitted emission limits has allowed Knife River to realize cost savings from not replacing parts on control equipment and not cleaning out control equipment. And this was an order entered in June of 2015, but these issues had started all the way back in 2021. And then turning to the culpability element, the Iowa DNR found the Knife River facility has been identified as a source of emissions by complaints from the surrounding community. Due to these complaints, DNR performed a site visit in fall of 2023 and identified potential emission issues at the facility. Knife River was made aware of potential emissions issues with the asphalt plant, but did not address the issues until stack test results demonstrated exceedances of emission limits. Knife River is responsible for maintaining the facility in compliance with the permitted emission limits at all times. Knife River has been aware of emissions issues with the facility since at least May 16, 2024, but continued to operate the facility. And the reason I bring that up is that that shows their track record in Iowa, their recent track record. And if we bring that into context of what they're asking this board here to do today, they're not here asking for a conditional use permit whereby you as the board can impose conditions and restrictions on their activities on this parcel. They're asking for a carte blanche zoning change to change this to heavy industrial use. Excuse me, the heavy manufacturing district, and which under your own zoning regulations, this is the district for location of those industries which have not reached a technical stage in processing which renders them free of nuisance factors or where economies precludes construction and operation in a nuisance-free manner. And as far as what counts as a permitted permissible use, it is any use which can meet the performance standard for this district. So there's been some discussion about whether or not an asphalt plant is moving here. And what I would submit to this board is if you approve this zoning change, you cannot stop an asphalt plant from going in here in the future, whether temporary or permanent. And so with that, I do have copies of the Iowa Administrative Order for the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Gene Murray. Gene Murray, and I got a housing development northeast of the proposed site. I'm also a farmer in the area. I don't want to beat a dead horse. This is not the proper spot for something like this. I just hope you guys will render the wishes of everybody that lives around there. We've spoke, had a petition. We just don't believe this is the right place. I'd like to talk longer, but my daughter's getting confirmed in less than an hour, so I've got to get going. But, you know, I thank you guys for listening to me on this, and I hope you follow the wishes of the people in the area.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see here. My name is Hobie Abbey. I'm not sure this is going to be a good thing for this, where it's going to be put at, considering that the ground is not built for this thing. The other thing is, like, how far is it going to contaminate? How deep in the ground is it going to contaminate? How wide and how's it going to spread? The other thing is the wind. Nobody can control the weather. The debris and the particles in the air, where is it going to go? It's going to go on the farmer's crop. So come time to pick it, what's going to happen? It's going to plug up the machines, could break down more often. And how far is it going to travel? Is it going to travel 500 feet or 2 miles? The other thing is, like, family gatherings. Who wants to have a family gathering with the smell of asphalt? Not me. I have a lot of friends out in that area, and we do get a lot of gatherings together. So I don't think this is going to be a good place to put this plant.
Thank you.
My name's Terry Campy. We live a quarter mile south of the proposed site. We're right on 110. My wife and I also own and operate a business out of the property. We've got currently 4 employees. We do roughly $500,000 a year. If this comes in due to the pollution and the noise, we're looking at moving out of state and taking our business with us. So we've been there 13 years. We don't want to leave, but we will. So thanks.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like to make a motion to close the hearing. Second.
No, I'm going to give people an opportunity. I said at the beginning I'd give people an opportunity to speak, that Knife River would have an opportunity to speak at the end.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead if anybody wants to speak in favor of, or if Knife River wants to speak.
Again, this is John Hines. I'm here on behalf of the Nelsons. I just wanted to respond very quickly to 2 things that were brought up. On the opposition petition, I don't believe that the petitioners who submitted that have met their threshold to show they've met the 20% requirement within that 100-foot notification area. Don't want to turn this into a court of law. Ms. Watson will, of course, advise the board on that. And the language of the code is whether the proposal for the zoning is in accordance with the comprehensive plan. And if you read in the future land use, it says in the county's plan that the land use map is a guide in prioritizing locations. So ultimately, it's still this board's decision to determine whether the proposal is in conformance with that plan. And that's a policy decision for the commission, not something that lawyers are going to fight out here in front of you. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Anybody else?
Again, my name is Dewey Goobles. One of the things that all the opposition kept hammering was the asphalt plant. There's no plan for them to do that unless it was a temporary one. It's not going to be a permanent one. But the other thing someone said was Knife River showed up here and they were all on the payroll. I'm a trucking company, a subcontractor for Knife River. Knife River is doing this. I'm the guy that brings the material from Spencer and from Del Rapids and from all these faraway locations. This actually kind of hurts me in that aspect, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here because with all of the projects I've worked with Knife River on, I have seen them do what they say they will do. And I believe you guys can stipulate that for them with the trees and environmental concerns. Knife River helped me personally with a SWIP permit one time. They have environmental people in-house. And I do firmly believe they are 100% invested in doing the right thing and exceeding the expectations.
Thank you. Anybody else before we close the hearing?
I have a question. No. They said they're bringing this in on rail. Is it coming from the east or coming from the west? Because if it's coming in from the west, that track out there cannot handle. Because you can only be 6 miles an hour. But can it handle that?
I'm sure the railroad would not let something come in if it wasn't rated for it.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know for a fact that rail out there is not strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had fall offs on Oakdale Road. We've had fall offs at the ethanol plant.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple other fall offs out through there. And if that stuff starts falling off the railroad tracks, what more land is it going to damage? Asking, because, I mean, this is our land.
I don't, you know, they probably don't know where the aggregate would all be coming from. I guess I don't want to answer for you. Does anybody want to answer to that? Yeah, it's a...
I know how bad the track is out
there. I bet you do. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? All right, we'll go ahead and close the hearing at 5:07. We'll take a couple minutes to discuss a few things amongst ourselves. With you here, I would like to just say a few things and to start that process. First of all, planning and zoning spent a great deal of time on this. They did vote against it. I believe it was 7-0. Planning and zoning is a board that recommends to us. We're not bound to do what they say, but they take their job very seriously. It's a group of volunteers that put a lot of time and effort into that, so it's something that I definitely look into as I go forward. There's been a lot of talk about the comprehensive plan, the plan from 2014. I know that it's the county's plan. Nobody that sits here today was around when that plan was made.
Rick was a signer on it.
Okay. Rick was there, I guess, during that time. So when you look at the comprehensive plan and you look where you would like, and this is my opinion, it's not the board's opinion, and you look where you would like people to come and things to happen, the county is not like, say, the city of South Sioux in a lot of ways. And South Sioux has the opportunity through different funding avenues to do infrastructure for things to come in. The county operates 100% off of your taxes. So the county has paved about 2.5 miles in the last 20 years. So it's a completely different animal. From what we're trying to do with infrastructure, we don't have the ability to go out and repave a road or to do the electrical and the plumbing and things of that nature to get people to come in. When I look at 110, which I've spent a lot of time doing over the last several months, especially the last couple days again, when I think about, they're talking about redoing 110 and resurfacing it, and they're talking about adding a 2-foot shoulder on the road and doing this, that, and the other. Well, 40 years ago, when I worked for the sheriff's office here in Dakota County, I remember sitting at meetings talking about the 4-lane highway to Wayne and the widening of the highway to Homer. And, you know, that's 40 years ago. We live a long ways from Lincoln, Nebraska. We're the second smallest county in the state, and I'm not going to say we're forgotten, but we're not thought of very much. Anybody that drives Highway 110, anybody that drives Highway 12 from Willis to the county line, anybody that tries to drive up the northbound lane of Highway 77 at the edge of Dakota City will understand that we're not very high on their pecking order. We've also requested a turning lane at the ethanol plant. It's a very dangerous spot. Have not met with any satisfaction with regard to that. And when I, the last 2 days, I've been up and down the length of 110 four times. I grew up the son of a contractor. I've been involved in that business my entire life. I would not call myself a concrete expert, but it is as bad a highway as I've been on. They say it's the shortest highway in the state of Nebraska. And I would say it's probably the worst, or I'd like to see one that is worse. Even where they've patched panels in years past, those panels have all tipped. I don't believe, in my unprofessional opinion, that you could overlay that road and have it stand up for any length of time. So without the turning lanes and additional to the road, that I guess that's my feelings on that part of it. So anybody else have things that they'd like to discuss at this time? Or?
So we need to call a vote.
Yeah, somebody would need to make a motion either or against.
We need to have. I made a motion to close the hearing.
Okay.
Brian seconded it, so we'll have to make a roll call on that.
Yep.
And then we'll be able to make a motion on what we want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So the roll call with Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to deny the heavy rezoning of the parcel.
Second.
Okay. Rogelio?
No.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. No? So that's where it stands. We're going to talk about possibly purchasing a tractor here in a little bit. So if you guys would want to stick around for that, you're welcome to. I always say that 95% of the people could care less about county government, but it's nice that everybody got involved, whether you're for or against or indifferent. So thank you. I'll tell you what, you did a good job, and I think that I definitely think there's a place for them. I just probably not out there. So, but I understand. I mean, I know how valuable aggregate is to the community.
Like the protesters in New York and stuff that are getting paid by the big billionaires and stuff, We didn't get paid.
And as many people came in and talked on their behalf, it says a lot about their company.
Being there for hours for 27 years.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. All right. See you in May then.
There's a door down the hall with these guys.
All right.
You bet.
What?
They're over here.
You're not going to stay for the tractors?
You can't be more important than the tractor.
All right. We'll let you know.
Yeah. This is like a country song. Look at you. Hey, damn it. We got business going on here.
You guys all get
the, they don't want to hear about the tractor?
Proposal.
Okay. The news doesn't care about the tractor?
This is
Board to review and discuss approval or not approve road department request for a John Deere 6R 195 tractor
and a 660R loader and grapple. Two bids received. The other one had come Friday. Didn't get into our packet till this morning.
Correct. Well, if you guys know, we can't really lease a tractor anymore like we've done for years. And we can rent one, but you got to do it for a minimum of 300 hours. And Jolene looked at like 100 hours is most we've ever put on a lease, so we'd have to do it for a year. So it's going to cost probably about another $6,000-$7,000 a year at least. So we've been looking into purchasing. We've looked at new. We've looked at used. I mean, warranty-wise, I mean, it's like everything anymore nowadays. So I did talk to Grossenberg's. They had the one quote with Sourcewell, and they also had one with the government discount. Well, I didn't know if we had to have bids with discounts, so I called Lincoln. And they weren't sure either. So we're Sourcewell there, and we also got Titan that came in, and they also did Sourcewell. So them are the two that were Sourcewell. There was a $12 difference between the government and the Sourcewell John Deere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How does it fit into the budget?
So I talked to Shereen, and we talked about in June, whatever was remaining in our budget, we could put a down payment on it, and then we would have to do payments after that for the next year.
Do you think the budget being what it is, which is going to be obviously tight with inflation rate being what it is, is you think that'll be you'll be able to build that in?
You know, we were talking about all of that. We're kind of at the point where I don't know what else we would do tractor wise. I think we've been pretty tight on our budget. I think we can put a lot down.
And that's for the mowing and what?
This will have a loader and a grapple, so like tree removal. You know, right now we don't have another grapple. We thought about one for the payloader, but this would do. The tractor is pretty much the same one we've been renting. It'll have the wide tires on it, loader. So it's kind of universal. So
we still have a road drag out there, Marty, too.
Yes.
That it could pull.
Mm. And I noticed this weekend there was a lot of counties north of here and west we're out doing that because it's dry right now, so it'd be ideal really. So but we will utilize it if we have it year round, I guarantee that.
I defer to Jeff and Brian somewhat because you know you guys are more aware of what's happening out there.
Well, I think it's something that we need. I think it's important.
We need it too. I just
the big thing is the money.
Yeah.
You know, well, especially looking at what Lincoln's doing right now, I would guess that I would look for us to be capped probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
We won't be able to raise any budget or anything, so we're going to have to start shrinking all that. You know, if we look at making payments on this down the road, like I said, that money, we're going to have to take that money from somewhere else. I mean, we might not be able to trade graders. We might not be able to buy gravel, something like that.
So I'm not even going to pretend to understand what Lincoln's doing, but if they, in a couple of years, start capping us, would this be the time now to try and do something, or we won't be able to ever do it?
Well, I don't know if we can't afford it now, I don't know that we're going to be able to afford it later.
Well, it seems like you go too used. The way parts are getting nowadays is getting ridiculous. So
I'm not gonna lie, it'll be tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I get, like I said, there's no doubt that there's a need for it.
Right.
Right. 100%.
Rick, you're a tractor guy. What do you think?
Well, I'm studying the deal here.
I could hear the Guinean grease on them gears.
They're brand new.
Oh, I'm doing a comparison on tractors tonight. The John Deere tractors. I believe it's 195 horse.
Yes, he said that his max up to 215.
And the Puma, Titan, it's
220.
220 horse.
Yep.
So power's key there.
They did tell me
things aren't going to get cheaper.
Nope.
So, and you know, if we can do purchase and make payments on it to ease the budget crunch,
Would we finance, where would we finance that?
We usually do D&E
Davis. Yeah.
The John Deere, they did also tell me that would be, we can add that in on our John Deere link we got now, so that'll all be under that too. So
you can
and International's got theirs.
You could do the International too on the link.
Yep, either one of them.
And hopefully over the next year, if interest rates continue to come down, we can refinance with Davis, and they're right about doing that for us, so hopefully.
I just like a used one and what you're paying for them. It's just getting.
John Deere loader, I would imagine.
Yes.
Case IH loader.
Correct. They're both with grapple forks and buckets.
What are warranties?
2 years, both of them.
Two years.
And then you can also add on. Yeah, they don't give much for warranties, really, anything.
Mm-hmm. Except road graders.
Yeah, but we got to buy them too, though. Mm-hmm. Add them up. So it's just nonstop.
The low bid would be the John Deere if we went with any of them.
Now, one stipulation on the John Deere, it could be November, it could be October. They don't know because that size tractor is made overseas. The larger tractors are made.
And who are you dealing with?
Nate over in Grossenberg.
They certainly ought to be able to provide something if we need something to mow this summer.
Right. So they've already discussed that. They have one that we can just rent for what we need it for.
How about Titan? What's the availability on the
They
Titan?
Can get it soon.
Soon?
Yeah.
So it'd be available and we'd have it on the ground.
Mm-hmm. If it ain't been sold by the time we tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Wayne did say they'd rent us one until we get that one. And they said there's a lot of counties doing this right now because they're all used to leasing. Now they can't, so.
They were going to get, what was the lease rate for?
The lease, they wouldn't lease anymore. You could, the rent was $95 an hour. And I think they quoted me like $120 before if we weren't buying.
Is it $95 an hour?
And like I said, we mainly need it for mowing right now.
Yeah.
Because it's getting close.
And you have to quit by when because of the pheasants?
Well, we can mow, but you just can only do one slot.
You can't mow until like 1st of July because of the pheasants.
But you can do the one swat.
We can do the one swat, yeah. That's a it's wildlife deal.
Yeah.
So. Well, we wouldn't have to rent the Case IH tractor, so we'd have that. That would, we're going to have what $5,000-$6,000 in rent.
I wouldn't even say that much because if we use it 100 hours at 95, so I don't know. It just depends how much we're going to use it.
Well, that'd be 100 hours at $95 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be $9,500? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's the weight of that. We're $4,000 higher on the Titan tractor than we are the John Deere, I know. But it's still cheap. Would be cheaper to get this one if we can get it on the ground right away. But I know it's going to be red instead of green.
Anymore, they're so complicated, it don't make any difference. They can mow and just load her.
I don't know about that. Does the one from Titan have the grapple and everything?
Yeah, okay. Yep, it'll have everything. Now, I think the one from Titan will have duals, though.
It will have duals?
Yeah, where the John Deere's got the wide in front and wide in the back, so you don't need duals.
It's got the Titan tires, the real wide, the 3-foot-wide tires on it.
The John Deere?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know that you'll like that.
We've done it the last couple of years, and we ain't had no trouble. We like it for mowing. I don't know what it's going to be like with a loader, but for mowing a road grader, it's fine, but. I don't know, like I said, loader, who knows?
So it's a super tire on the back.
Mm-hmm. And the fronts, both of them.
Mm.
So it's up to you guys, I guess.
I'd lean towards the narrower tire myself for resale. If we ever had to do something, if a farmer come in a bid, if we put it on, you're going to probably resell better that way with the narrower tires on it.
Which one would you prefer?
I really don't care. Whichever. Just so we got something to mow with. And, I mean, I'm more familiar with John Deere, but like I said, these nowadays are so more advanced than what I'm used to that it, it's kind of one of them toss-ups, really, to me. I don't know what the guys would prefer to run, but...
They're both nice rigs.
Yeah.
I've got John Deere and I've got older Case, but they're all, they're both good rigs.
They're pretty compatible.
It's just, you won't have to lease one or rent one. You'll get, if you could get one right away. That's what our board wants to do. That way.
Yep. That's your guys.
You're going to have $100, $9,500, so it's going to cost you more to get the John Deere tractor because of the lease or the rent. So it kind of makes sense to go with the Titan if you can get it right away.
That, the Titan was $26,000 plus the $3,001 was the loader.
It says 306 here in front of me, and the 301 for the John Deere. Is that,
right, that was the tractor itself.
That's the tractor itself.
Yes.
And another 26 for the loader.
Right.
What was the John Deere loader?
With Sourcewell, it was 16,000 for the loader. I think it was like 20 for the discounted one. Like I said, I don't know. Lincoln couldn't even answer my question on that.
So the John Deere loader, the John Deere rig would be cheaper.
Yes.
What's the board want to do there? Because, you know, the John Deere's cheaper. We're going to have to wait for it.
He said it could be September. It could be November. Just because when it's overseas, they can't guarantee.
Yeah, with everything going on right now.
Right.
It might not be until... Spring of next year.
Yes, we don't know.
Could be 27.
I never checked with Titan, but in my mind, I was thinking that the John Deere and have a little time to get through this budget, put our leftover money towards it, and finance it. Where I don't, I do you know how soon
Titan
would be on one of the payments?
I don't know for sure. Never. We got to talk for about 10 minutes about it.
I'd make a motion to let the road, Brian and Jeff, let Jolene do a little more checking and let these guys make the call. Both the tractors are so close in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't like the wide tires, but.
And we can sell Chihuahua if we want. That's just what he quoted
at. I would,
and that, yeah, that's up to you guys.
I would think that
for loader wise, that was where I was questionable. Mowing wise, it was fine.
Yeah. Well, with the duals on, you're going to get the same.
Yeah, you get the same thing.
You're going to get the same thing, and then that narrower tire in the front might keep you from slipping around as much. You know, if you did get on a side hill and the draft with the wide tire would be greater. I would make a motion to let Brian and Jeff make that final decision on what tractor to get.
I'd second that.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Brian?
Absolutely.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks,
you
guys.
You guys picked the one that's pretty close to comparison.
Yes.
You know how to get a hold of me.
All right. Road report.
I am pleased to announce that there is no snow removal on this report.
That's a nice report. Nice start.
We had 254 hours on road maintenance, 43 on trees. So that was the last couple of days of March we got that cleaned up. We filled some holes along the road on North Bluff and Dub Trail. 105 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 695 tons of 1-inch on the road and 438 tons of road gravel on the road and just under 350 tons of gravel into the yard. 21 hours on signs, 2 hours with weeds, and then some grading and gravel concerns.
They also filled out there on 164th, and some knothead had to drive right through it again. Yeah. It just never ends, but yeah.
It looked good.
It does look good.
We got more
No, it looks good.
I think that's all I got. Any questions?
Commissioner committee reports.
Had our first LB663 land use permitting.
I've been here for a minute. Go ahead.
Land use committee meeting. Just kind of an introduction to what the committee's going to do. And then I'll be in Lincoln on Wednesday to Gilmore in depth. It's like a 3-hour session on Wednesday.
Well, thanks for doing that.
Hey, you're welcome.
Right.
That road needs graded. Rahilia and I were actually both down at Lincoln last week for Legislative Day at NACO. That was good. I spent some time. I haven't been in the Capitol for quite a few years, so I spent quite a bit of time in there. Quite a bit of time talking with Senator Meyer on different items. That's kind of like I said, we're getting the idea that they're going to start capping. It almost came up the second to last Legislative Day. Senator Hansen tried to slip it in on a bill, luckily, it did
just
not
a flat cap from where you're at,
and I don't think that they're going to give up on it. They're going to keep pushing that agenda. And then the next day, I spent the day with Shree going over a lot of accounting basics. So I learned a lot of government of county accounting that I hope I never have to use again. But it was good. It was really good. A whole new appreciation for what those people do. So,
anybody else on committee reports? Mailer emergency business, Paula? No?
Oh, no.
Brian, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Funny every time.
I'm already here.